tackle for the Niners. Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square.
Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into episode 17 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa or on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you haven't joined the South Harmon Discord, go check it out at patreon.com/South Harmon. And if you haven't seen any of our tools that we use, you can also check those out at southharmonff.com. As I said last week, I'm going to focus this week on stacking, and more specifically, individual players and teams, and trying to find some correlation in what it takes in order to actually identify which teams and players you should be targeting for stacks. Because the short answer is, you don't want to target every stack willy-nilly. So we're going to take a look at what it takes and hopefully learn some things about who it is that we want to be targeting at this time of year to build some good stacks on our teams. Before I get into that, I want to shout out our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can sign up for live prize breaks of awesome, amazing sports memorabilia. You can get it so that way you can fill up any sort of room that you want, and all you need to do is go to our referral link at signedshit, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout. Do that, fill up your room, and make it an awesome sports place that anybody is going to be amazed at all the awesome stuff you have there. Once again, that's signedshit, signedsh.it. I'm going to focus in on the stacks in two different sections today. The first section is just going to be based on a team. The reason I'm going to do that is so that way we can look at the number of teams that we have stacks for and what caused them to be positive or negative. Then I'm going to be looking at individual player stacks, and we'll see a lot of correlation between the teams, but I just kind of want to go over a little bit of, from a player level, what sorts of players should we be looking for? Should we be looking for top tier, lower tier, things like that? So, let's begin with the teams. So, the first main statistic that I'm going to look at is the increase in stacks for this team in the first week of the playoffs versus the week one of the season. And so if we look at this data, we only have 15 teams in a positive range, which if you think about that, that seems kind of counterintuitive. That's actually less than 50%. Whereas last week I said the increase in number of stacks from week one to playoffs was actually 9%. So how does that end up getting made up? Well, it comes down to all the teams that are positive either had good seasons from their quarterbacks or were just relatively safe, and all the teams that are below that percentage that have the negative values had some sort of injury or a general uncertainty about their team throughout the season. So I'm going to go through, I'm just going to list the positive teams, and then I'm going to list the negative teams and explain how each of the teams probably ended up negative. So the positive teams, the Rams, specifically the Rams, they were actually up by 1,016%. That's because week one, we didn't know to start Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp was out with injury. So we didn't actually have his stack there, and by the time we got to playoffs, you were stacking both Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua with Matt Stafford, so that greatly increased the number of stacks overall. So that's why that number is so high. All the rest of them are less than 100% increase. We have Arizona, Detroit, Dallas, San Francisco, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Miami, Green Bay, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Denver, Tennessee, and Baltimore. So almost every single one of these teams, the common theme is their quarterbacks were healthy all the way throughout the season, and then also that they didn't have any quarterback turnover. The only one that you could say, like, there's actually two of them that had quarterback turnover. Arizona, but it was in a positive direction, so that explains why they're number two on the greatest increase. And then also Indianapolis. And that just comes down to the fact that Gardner Minshew did better than we expected, and it happened so early. So by the time we got to playoffs, like, we knew what to expect out of Gardner Minshew. We knew that he was leading this team to good things. We knew that Michael Pittman was doing good. So, like, it was just in general, we knew that that was a safe stack by that point in the season. So now let's go to the teams that were negative and explain why each of them was negative. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow got hurt. New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Cleveland, Deshaun Watson got hurt. Houston, CJ Stroud got hurt. Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence got hurt. Pittsburgh, quarterback mayhem. Chicago, this is the only one in this entire list where I'm like, I actually don't know 100% why this one is down by 18%. The main players that I thought would be a factor here are going to be Justin Fields and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, and I could not find that any of them actually missed week 15, and I couldn't figure out, like, why that would necessarily be the case that there's going to be fewer stacks that week. So if anyone has an idea, but if I had to take a guess, it actually has to do with the fact that that Justin Fields is not he was not throwing for a lot of passing yards. And so if we're looking at the how that's going to affect the stacks, like, if he's not throwing the ball at all, he's getting all of his points out of rushing, then you aren't going to want to rely on the passing targets because they aren't going to do as well for you. And so I think that just the passing targets were doing so poorly in Chicago in terms of, like, an overall, like, oh, what kind of people are targeting Justin Fields and things like that. So that's probably why the stack percentage went down. So that one went down by 18%. I don't think that is necessarily a ton, but it is something noticeable that I'm like, hey, I think that it's kind of weird that this one went down and there's no obvious pattern to that compared to all the other ones. Washington, they were having quarterback turmoil. Week 15 was actually when Sam Howell got benched for Jacoby Brissett, so we knew writing on it was on the wall there. Seattle, Geno Smith got hurt. Las Vegas, they were having all sorts of quarterback troubles with Jimmy Garoppolo turning into Aiden O'Connell. New Orleans, so Olave missed week 15. If we actually look at the numbers for New Orleans, the numbers for championship week is actually up by 4% from week 1. So that is just simply a, hey, he only missed week 15, that was the only problem. So those numbers are way up. To all the others, you can actually see that it's only down because Chris Olave missed that week. Carolina, their entire team was bad, having tons of struggles. Who knew who you wanted as the wide receiver target? So that one explains why it was down. Atlanta, they were having essentially horrible quarterback play. You didn't want to trust the quarterback, so you weren't having stacks as a result. Minnesota going through quarterback problems with Kirk Cousins being out for the season. The New York Giants going through all sorts of quarterbacks, and that explains why they're down. New England having the same quarterback struggles and as a lot of these other teams. And then the Chargers, Justin Herbert out with injury. So when you look at all of this, the only two teams that had a temporary sort of thing where their quarterback was out for that week but then came back later were Houston and New Orleans. And I mentioned New Orleans, they went up to 4% in terms of the championship compared to week 1. Houston was actually up 78%. So That shows that, okay, CJ Stroud missed that week 15. By the time you get to championship week, week 17, I think he missed weeks 15 and 16, if I remember correctly. CJ Stroud, he was super impactful, and the teams that won championships won it off of that New Orleans stack, or that Houston stack. And that Houston stack, if you would take that 78% and put it into the championship week percentage, and you sort by which team is the strongest there, they're actually seventh. So they were the seventh best stack, and that just comes down to, hey, they were a really good stack. And then also a little bit of the, hey, you got a rookie quarterback, you don't know exactly what to expect. And so that was a big impact in terms of increasing that percentage and the bonus that you have going into the championship with the stack compared to week one. So the only changes to these positive versus negative are the two I already mentioned of Houston going positive because week 15 Stroud was out and 17 he's back. Same with New Orleans, where week 15 Olave's out and by week 17 he's back. And then two positive to negative. So that was Tennessee. By the time we got to week 17, Ryan Tannehill was hurt and benched, if I remember correctly. I think he got hurt, but he could have just been benched. I forget exactly how all that went down already. And then Denver, Russell Wilson got benched. So we went from 9% to negative 71. So everyone completely bailed on Jarrett Stidham for a good reason. And so he ended up not being part of many championship winning teams. So that is the stacking percentage by teams. So what we can see from the list of teams that were positive, once again, Rams, Cardinals, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Detroit, San Francisco, Houston, Green Bay, Indianapolis, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami, New Orleans, and Buffalo. All of these teams were teams that we could easily rank as the top offenses in the NFL. These were the ones that didn't get hit by injury and didn't have any sort of offensive controversies. We weren't missing important key positions, things like that. And specifically, it comes down to the quarterback position. So it's not so much that the wide receivers are the problem. Yes, they affected the rate a little bit in terms of, oh yeah, we like Chris Olave is out that week 15, and so that causes New Orleans to be down on week 15. But it's either a bad offense or just the quarterbacks got hurt, and thus the offense became bad. That is a good thing to keep track of in that, okay, in any situation, I am looking for stacking my wide receivers with my quarterbacks as long as I am comfortable that they're a good quarterback, that they're on a good offense. I don't care what wide receiver it is. I want to roster them in correlation with my quarterbacks. If I'm sitting here and I am rostering, say, Bo Nix right now, and I don't think Bo Nix is going to be on a good offense and that he's not going to do very well this year. This is just my personal opinion leaking out here. I'm not saying Bo Nix is bad. I have a bunch of shares of Bo Nix, but I'm not really counting on him this year. Like, I could easily see him being quarterback 20 to 24, kind of like how Bryce Young was last year. And if Bo Nix does not do very well, I don't want to stack with Bo Nix. It's not going to be beneficial to my teams to be trying to invest in that stack, because much like Carolina was last year, it's just not going to turn out very well for my fantasy teams. It's actually going to be a detriment because I'm going to be forcing myself to stack these players, or more realistically, I'm just not going to be competitive with them. So if I am staring down the barrel of a decision like that, okay, I just need better players than the Denver players. I don't need to be focusing on stacks. But if I have any of the top teams in the league, and they're going to be the same ones as last year, more or less, like if I've got Dallas Cowboys, Lions, 49ers, Packers, Colts, like Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, like all your major teams, those are the teams that I want to go ahead and actually invest in and try to stack myself in these teams. These top offenses, that includes, like, I think Cleveland will do fine. I think Cincinnati will do fine. I'm even willing to invest some in Pittsburgh and Atlanta and, like, all these teams that I think are going to have good offenses. I want to go ahead and stack in those. You can't predict the quarterback injuries. Those are just going to hit you at random points. But if I can predict, I think this offense will be good, then I want to try and stack in them. But if I already know the offense is going to be bad, stacking in that offense just makes it worse. And so there is no point in doing that. So that's the primary thing that I learned looking through this on a team-by-team basis, is that when you remove all of the bias out of it, it just comes down to, if you have an offense that isn't bottom of the barrel, and as long as your quarterback survives the season, then you want to have those stacks. And since I can't predict which quarterbacks are going to make it through or not, I just want to invest in stacks on offenses that I do not think will be bottom of the barrel. Now let's go through the individual players. The way I've gone through these is I have cut out a lot of some of the extra chaff. So I had a bunch of wild swings when you start looking at, like, stacks of quarterbacks that maybe just appeared randomly in the middle of the season. So, like, Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper. You wouldn't know about that stack week one, so I'm not going to count it. Same with, like, Jake Browning and Ja'Marr Chase, like, stuff like that. So I've cut it completely down to only players that were started at a decent clip in week one, and then also that were still started at a decent clip when you get to week 15 and 17. So narrow all this down, and I also specifically focused in on quarterbacks. I do have the data. If you join the South Harmon Discord, patreon.com/South Harmon, I will be posting my raw data from this in the Wrinkled Brains channel. So you do need to be a pregame pooper tier or the Savage tier in order to have access to this. But you can pour through that data. You can set different parameters than me. I specifically only looked at a quarterback stack, so they needed to have a quarterback in them. And then I'm also only looking at stacks that had a certain rate of actually being rostered for all three windows. That way, just cut out a bunch of the injury problems and things like that. So it ended up being that I cut down to only 16 quarterbacks total. Those ended up being Baker Mayfield, Brock Purdy, C.J. Stroud, Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Josh Allen, Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes, Trevor Lawrence, and Tua Tagovailoa. So if you listen to those names in correlation with the teams that I just talked about earlier, most of those teams are represented. The only ones that I notice that are not represented by this are Kyler Murray and Anthony Richardson / Gardner Minshew, because, well, Kyler Murray, he had Clayton Tune, or actually Josh Dobbs and then Clayton Tune at the beginning of the season, and then it swapped, and so Arizona was a good stack, like, at both ends. And then same with Indianapolis. They were a good stack at both ends with Anthony Richardson and Gardner Minshew. But because they were different players, they aren't included in my player-specific stats. And so, to me, that is fine. And if you want to do your own different analysis, once again, go join the Patreon. Take a look at my raw data when I post it. And do some of this analysis for yourself, and then also let me know what you find. If you see something differently than me, draw different conclusions, please let me know. I'd love to talk about it here on this podcast, of just different things that people have noticed or even that people are asking. I know I've had some people ask about some different things related to these episodes, and so I'm going to be talking about that some here in the next coming weeks. So let's start with the stacks that reduced your chance of making the playoffs. The first one is Tua Tagovailoa and Jaylen Waddle. So this one actually surprised me that Jaylen Waddle was down 5% in terms of stacking with Tua Tagovailoa in week 15 compared to week 1. My only guess as to how this happened is that week 15, the Miami Dolphins were playing the New York Jets. And we knew that the New York Jets, they were shutting down receivers all over the place all season long. Like, they were a top-tier defense by the time you got to week 15. They just didn't have an offense to save their life. And when we're looking at Jaylen Waddle, I think that what we were seeing was that he's going to get shut down by these wide receivers. And then Tyreek Hill was also out. So not only was he going to get shafted by the fact that he's going up against the Jets cornerbacks, which both of them were really good, but now he's going to get the best one because Tyreek isn't there to draw coverage away from him. And so I think that just a bunch of people benched Jaylen Waddle in week 15 and probably benched Tua Tagovailoa as well. And so that ended up being the problem. Next one, down 14%, Josh Allen and Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, he just didn't do as well as we were expecting. That not much that you can really do for that. I mean, he had zeros week 9, 11, and 14. So I kind of expect that he'd be benched a lot more in week 15. Dak Prescott and Brandon Cooks were down 16%. And in week 15, there was a tough matchup against Buffalo. Brandon Cooks wasn't doing a whole lot over the course of the season. At the beginning of the season, especially, he caused a lot of people to lose faith in him and probably find replacements. He had his starts of the season was 4.4, 0, 3.9, 5.8, and 2.6 points. So that really causes somebody to get nervous. And after that many weeks, they were probably moving on from Brandon Cooks. He might have still been on the benches as like a guy that was filling in for some of the later bye weeks. But by the time you get to week 15, there are no more bye weeks. You probably had a better option you were putting in your lineup. Jalen Hurts and Dallas Goedert were down 16% because Goedert was hurt. It just makes sense there. CJ Stroud and Nico Collins down 29% because CJ Stroud was hurt. If you actually look at this one in terms of the championship percentage, it is up by 729% because, well, CJ Stroud and Nico Collins was an awesome stack to have, and this is just simply CJ Stroud being hurt. That's why it's down. All the Geno Smith stacks, those are also down because he missed weeks 14 and 15 with injury. Tua and Tyreek down because Tyreek missed with injury. Derek Carr and Olave down because Olave missed with injury. And then Patrick Mahomes and Isaiah Pacheco, yes, included running backs in this data set as well. That was down as well because Isaiah Pacheco missed week 15 with injury. So now let's look at the stacks that were increased by 100% or more. This means that the rate of stacking actually doubled by the time that you got to playoffs. And these are going to be your more volatile stacks. So like, we weren't confident on them at the beginning. That's why they weren't stacked very much in week 1. But by the time we get to week 15, we're pretty confident in them. And so maybe these are ones that we can look at for these are stacks that we want to be targeting. So the first one is Patrick Mahomes and Rashee Rice. Well, guess what? Rookie wide receiver, we weren't too in on him, but by the time we got to week 15, we knew Rashee Rice was the number one wide receiver on the Chiefs, and so we went ahead with him. And he was pretty much a lock. That's why he went up. He actually went up by 1,040%, or 10 times the rate that we had that stack of Mahomes and Rice. Second highest, Dak Prescott and Jake Ferguson. We were unsure whether Jake Ferguson was going to fully take over that Dalton Schultz role, and so that's the reason that it shot up so much. Mahomes and Kelsey, Well, it's because Kelce missed week one. He was benched a bunch week one. That's why his numbers are so high. Jordan Love and Jaden Reed. Jordan Love is essentially a rookie, first-year starting quarterback, and Jaden Reed, an actual rookie and wide receiver. So, like, obviously, we didn't know what to expect there, and so they started doing really well, and so we obviously started starting them more by the end of the season. Baker Mayfield and Rashad White. These were two underrated players going into the season. Rashad White was somebody that broke out and greatly exceeded expectation, and Baker Mayfield even more exceeded expectation. That will be an interesting thing to watch for this coming year to see how they do, because how much of that is the Dave Canales effect. We saw Geno Smith in 2022. He did great. When you get to 2023, not so much. So we'll have to see how this looks for this coming year. Jared Goff and Sam Laporta. Once again, who saw Sam Laporta coming? We knew Jared Goff was going to be solid, but Sam Laporta, we weren't expecting that. Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans. We didn't see Baker Mayfield coming, but Mike Evans, so we knew that he was going to be solid. And he just got elevated a little bit more by Baker Mayfield doing so well. The next four are actually really interesting. So these ones were all increases of about 200 to 300%. And it is Brock Purdy and George Kittle, Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk, Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel, and Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey. So what do we see from that? We see that we weren't confident starting Brock Purdy, but we were confident in starting every single one of his weapons. Like, all of these guys were guys at the beginning of the year were like, yeah, start George Kittle a bunch. Yeah, start Brandon Ayuk a bunch. Yeah, Deebo Samuel. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey. But we weren't starting Brock Purdy at the same rate. I don't know whether that was just like bias from the year before. By the time week one rolled around, we knew Purdy was the starter. I mean, Trey Lance had already been traded away. Like, they had set everything up, Brock Purdy week one, ready to go. So I'm not 100% sure what the problem was with that specifically, but maybe that is something that we can look at in terms of, okay, what team is it that we're expecting all of the targets to do really well? One of those teams that I personally am looking at a little bit actually ends up being Las Vegas. Like, if we expect Davante Adams to do really well, we expect Jacoby Myers to do really well, we're expecting Brock Bowers to do really well. Like, who's going to be throwing the football? It's either Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. Like, that might actually be a sneaky stack that you want to be investing into, especially when you look at Gardner Minshew led the Colts to such a good clip in terms of a team stacking percentage last year. Like, maybe that's somebody that you want to invest in on those teams, especially as like a third quarterback, like insurance sort of policy sort of thing. The next one is Jordan Love and Romeo Dobbs. We didn't really expect Dobbs to break out that huge, and especially Jordan Love, we didn't expect that either. Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers is the next one, and Zay Flowers, rookie wide receiver. We weren't confident starting him in week one. Next one, Tua Tagovailoa and Raheem Mostert. We didn't know Raheem Mostert was going to be that good. And so basically he was an auto start, and if you had Tua, you probably were having to start him as your quarterback. Lamar Jackson and Odell Beckham. We didn't expect Odell Beckham to be relevant after missing all of 2022 and going to the Ravens as essentially their third wide receiver. And Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid, rookie tight end. We weren't expecting that to break out. So really all of these above 100% are combinations where they either broke out significantly that you can't really predict that, like right now in our current fantasy landscape, unless you have a serious like player or team conviction. Or in the case of the Brock Purdy situation, it's we knew all the weapons, and so we had to target what we can do is try and target who's going to be throwing them the football. And so if that could be one way to try and hit on a team this coming season. And that's something to look at as well in terms of as we get closer to the season, which weapons do we think are going to do really well? Are a lot of them stacked on a team where we think there's going to be a mediocre level of quarterback play? If that's the case, we should get in on that quarterback more, because obviously all those weapons need to have somebody throwing them the football, and so we can get some benefit by investing in that. So let's look at the remaining section, that group that has increased but did not increase immensely. The first one is Baker Mayfield and Chris Godwin. So this one increased a good amount, but not a ton. And this is actually kind of interesting to me, because when you're looking at this, Baker Mayfield, he wasn't the best quarterback. He broke out more than we expected, but he still ended up being like around the quarterback 12 in WARP, depending on your scoring. And then Chris Godwin, he wasn't really that relevant. Like, he's down there in like the quarterback 3-4 flex range sort of player. And that lower level quarterback and lower level wide receiver, they had to both break out really well in order to actually see them become an effective stack combo for your teams. So that's something where I'm not going to try and replicate that personally. You need such a huge breakout, and I don't think I can safely predict that. If I happen to stumble my way into that, then sure. But I'm not necessarily going to be fighting to try and find some of those combinations. The next one is Lamar Jackson and Isaiah Likely. I think that is mostly just because Isaiah Likely ended up starting the end of the season when Mark Andrews got hurt and he was doing really well. Whereas at the beginning of the season, he wasn't started as much, but apparently he was still started a decent amount to make my thresholds. And that's just based off of how he finished 2022. The next one, Josh Allen and James Cook. So that was actually a more beneficial stack. And I think that has to do with showing you how much James Cook still did work coming out of the backfield, how paired with Josh Allen, like, he was still a good running back. So having that quarterback running back stack, this is outside of the absolute ceiling monster that became Raheem Mostert, this is the highest quarterback running back combo. And so that's something that we should be taking a look at of, okay, this is the ceiling for these guys. Like, the ceiling for Josh Allen and James Cook only ends up being up by 65%. But both these guys we were drafting pretty highly. We both thought that they were going to be very effective. And so this combination can work. You can have a stack out of these players, and it is still beneficial to you to stack your quarterback with your running back. And the very next one, Jared Goff and David Montgomery. We see a similar thing. Maybe David Montgomery's points come a little bit differently, but guess what? Good offense with a good quarterback and then also a good run game. There we go. Have stacking that quarterback with that running back, beneficial to our teams. Next one, another in a row, Jalen Hurts and DeAndre Swift. Once again, running back and quarterback. Yeah, we know that Jalen Hurts steals a bunch of DeAndre Swift's touchdowns, but you know what? That run game was effective, and it was effective to have both those guys on your team at the same time. And then same with Dak Prescott and Tony Pollard. So Pollard, not the best of seasons. Dak Prescott, a good, like, Pollard, I'd say not the best. Not the best compared to where we thought he could have been. But he still had a solid season. Dak Prescott had a solid season. No reason not to invest in these top-tier offenses with their quarterbacks and their running backs. If you can have multiple pieces of them, totally on board. So, like, something that I am willing to do and that I know I have on a couple teams is stack Anthony Richardson with Jonathan Taylor. I don't have a problem with doing that. They're both really good. They're both going to get the rushing points. The offenses are going to be built around them. And so I am not scared of doing that, especially looking at this data. I see that it's not going to affect my teams, and I know that I'm going to still have a good shot at making the playoffs having both of those guys together, as opposed to trying to split them up and potentially down-tiering one of them to try and just diversify a little bit. I'm fine having both of them on the team together, and I'm also fine obtaining the other one if I already have one of them on my team. I'm not going to shy away from that quarterback running back combination. The next one, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. We're now in the range of, okay, this is actually where we saw an increase in the top tier wide receivers with their quarterbacks. Because right here we have Dak Prescott with CeeDee Lamb, two spots down Jared Goff with Amon-Ra, then Josh Allen with Stephon Diggs, then Jalen Hurts with AJ Brown. So you go right down this down that list, you have all of the top tier quarterbacks with the top tier wide receivers. The only reason I don't think these numbers are higher is actually because of a little bit of game theory of everyone thinks about, oh, pair your top tier wide receivers with your quarterbacks, because that is the optimal way to play things. And so we had probably a lot of teams that ended up missing the playoffs had those players and those stacks on their teams. And so that's the only reason that those are probably down there. And you see the Josh Allen, James Cook, Jared Goff, David Montgomery, Jalen Hurts, DeAndre Swift, and Dak Prescott and Tony Pollard all being higher, because people don't see the correlation between these top tier quarterbacks and the running backs. But in fact, that correlation still exists. Having those top-tier quarterbacks and those top-tier running backs on the same team together is totally fine, and it is fine just like it is with having those top-tier quarterbacks with those top-tier wide receivers. I skipped in the middle there, Jordan Love and Aaron Jones, so he separated that group of four wide receivers with their quarterbacks into two and two, but it, once again, that's a quarterback with their number one running back, in which both of them were good. They were a top 12 quarterback. I don't remember whether Aaron Jones was actually top 12, but he was still up there in terms of effectiveness. Below all of these wide receivers, we have Jared Goff and Jahmyr Gibbs. So not only do we have Jared Goff and David Montgomery a little bit higher up, but we have the other running back as well. And so it just goes to show you that, hey, if you have top tier rushing attack, you can stack those top tier rushers with your quarterbacks, and they are not going to hurt each other. In fact, they're going to help your team. Being invested into an offense should be invested into an offense as a whole, as long as those parts of the offense are good. So after that, we have Justin Fields and Cole Kmet. So that one was an actual increase. It was not by very much. So Justin Fields and Cole Kmet only went up by 14%. And then we also have Justin Fields and DJ Moore that went up by a grand total of 10%. So we were starting those two guys a little bit more, which actually is kind of interesting when you try and think about, okay, how did the overall team percentage for these guys end up going down? Because as I mentioned in the earlier part of this, Chicago ended up going down by 18% from week one to the playoffs, and they were down 6% from week one to the championships. But their individual players, when you talk about Justin Fields and Cole Kmet, and Justin Fields and DJ Moore, were both slightly up. So that actually probably has to do with the other players on this team. So whoever their other wide receivers, I think it was Darnell Mooney, and I guess now that I'm thinking about it, what other wide receivers were there on the Chicago? Like, that's probably why they were down overall, because nobody broke out as number two wide receiver, because realistically Justin Fields wasn't throwing enough to actually make an impact to anyone else besides those two players. So that's something to look at as well. It's like, okay, the really bad offenses that are like barely throwing at all, it still was beneficial if you had those top couple targets. Barely beneficial, but it did work out. But a lot of that also comes off of the fact that Justin Fields was just an absolute stud in terms of scoring you points at the quarterback position, because he just rushed the ball so much. It wasn't off the back of him throwing it to DJ Moore a ton or him throwing it to Cole Kmet a ton. It was off the back of the fact that he just rushed for so many yards that it ended up working out. In there, you also have Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith. So that is the first instance of actually a two wide receivers from the same team. So that Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith. So we're looking at this and going, the only increases in terms of in this range of the reasonable expectation ones are Jalen Hurts with AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts with Devonta Smith. When we're looking at everyone else, Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, only one wide receiver. Dak Prescott, his increase with, he actually decreased with Brandon Cooks, so that was the number two wide receiver out. And then his tight end that he increased with, we were unsure about the tight end to the point we weren't starting them week one. Josh Allen, same with Dalton Kincaid, we weren't sure about him week one, he was a rookie tight end. We were maybe the most sure about him going into the season, but that's he's still up in the unsure section. Lamar Jackson, unsure about Zay Flowers. Isaiah likely ended up in this range, though. Brock Purdy, we were unsure about him as a whole. If Brock Purdy, we were confident in him, and so this is kind of where I expect him to finish this coming year. I expect to see Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle in the, we reasonably project these guys, and this will be, they'll be in this range that I'm talking about with more of the stud players, because now Brock Purdy is going to be closer to that stud quarterback, he's going to be in a strong offense, and he'll be closer to this Jared Goff level in terms of the quarterback, and then have all these top tier weapons. And so that's what's going to get him into this range. The very last combination that I have in here is Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. So he was still positive, Trevor Lawrence to Travis Etienne. But the reason he was negative was because he was missing a bunch of players. So the main one that we knew about was Christian Kirk. The one that fell on his face was Calvin Ridley. And the one that we didn't know about ended up being Evan Ingram. So Evan Ingram actually did not make that stack with Trevor Lawrence, did not make my week one cutoff. He just was not stacked very much in week one. So that sort of issue is what ended up not seeing those players make my data. So look at all this. How am I going to evaluate what kinds of players I'm trying to target with my stacks? There's a serious cutoff in these top tier teams. What I'm trying to look for is I want to have top tier offenses, and I want to be stacking them with their top tier weapons. Other people are already doing that. The rate that they're doing that is already insane. It's happening at a crazy amount. If I just even look at what was the most common stacks going into week one last year: Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Justin Fields, DJ Moore, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Tua, Waddle, Tua Hill, Hurts, Goddard. Like, these are the top stacks in week one. And so when I'm looking through this list, it's like, duh, of course, everyone knows these are good players. Put good players together. But we see that no matter what, putting these good players together ends up increasing your chance of making the playoffs. These stacks, they give you benefits. The random chance factor, you get a bonus by putting these players on the same team together. How is this affecting me? I'm going to create myself a cutoff, and that cutoff I'm just going to take a guess around, like, I don't know, quarterback 20, offense 20, something like that. That's what I'm going to try and target. And so if I go to Fantasy Pros, I look at the quarterback cutoff. That is right at the range of Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Will Levis, Derek Carr, Daniel Jones. And then below that is Bryce Young, Russell Wilson, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Justin Fields, Gardner Minshew, etc. And the reason I am going to have the cutoff there is because unsure quarterback situations and unsure team situations. Everyone above that list, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Jaden Daniels, and better, all of those you're pretty confident in. You're confident in the quarterback situation or the team situation or both. And so I am going to try and stack in that range. When I have these lower tiers, it's not worth it to me to stack. It is hard to either maintain that stack throughout the season or to just have that stack be effective. We saw in my list of players that were ineffective, the ones that were ineffective were mostly due to injury, but we saw all these lower tier quarterbacks and receiver stacks that did end up lasting the full season didn't even actually hit my thresholds to be included in my individual player data. So my main takeaway is top tiers, stack them, lower tiers, don't. That's what I'm going to be trying to do this season. If you're in leagues with me, you're going to see me be trying to make moves for it. I tried to make a couple moves this past week, and so far I've actually have not had any of my trades get accepted. I sent out like 6 or 7 of them so far, and I got like 3 declines within like a couple hours. So it's going to be a little difficult to do it, but I'm just going to slowly try to grind away, try to increase my stack percentage, try and get one stack and even up to 2 stacks in those teams that I can. So that's everything that I have for you this week. If you want to, go check out this data. I'm going to be posting it once again in the Patreon, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. And take a look at it, stay sharp, and keep grinding that edge. I'll talk to you next week.